Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Everybody, and welcome back to the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Today, we are discussing a huge topic in the community, and it's around my personal experience 1 week ago when my partner and I, who's a C4 quadriplegic, left Italy after a longer term stay. And so we're going to talk about the stuff that happens during flight travel, the stuff that happens on the airport, and we're going to use my personal life as an example. So that's going to be good. But first, we just wanted to thank our sponsors, Robin Wishart of Wishart Bringing in Spine Law, for sponsoring this podcast. We are very grateful to her and her team for being our behind-the-scenes advocates for our own personal cases. When it comes to human rights and appeals, she has helped us beyond measure, and she's available to each and every one of you as the Wives of SCI official advocate. So if you want more information about Robin and her team at Wishart Brain and Spine Law, please visit brainandspinelaw.com, or you can visit wagsofsci.com and click on the Legal Resources tab for more information. Also, we would like to thank Annalisa Squires and John. They are a WAG couple. John is a quadriplegic, and they own Rolling in Paradise. So Rolling in Paradise is an adapted equipment company out of Florida that specializes in leisure activity equipment for paras and quads. They have everything from hand cycles to electronic equipment, anything that you need to get outside, get outdoors, and have some amazing quality leisure time in your chair, they will help you with. We love to support WAG-owned businesses. Annalisa is a proud WAG of over 20 years. She knows what it's like in this life, and she can help you get the best equipment for your needs. So please contact rollingparadise.com and tell them the Wags of SCI sent you. All right, so let's get into this podcast. Let's talk about the dreaded travel day home from Italy that, you know, everybody who's been involved in flight travel with a quadriplegic or a para, anybody who has equipment to travel with, has experienced some form of craziness at the airport. I, in fact, don't know anybody who has not. Elena, have you experienced craziness at an airport traveling with your quad?
Yes, every single time we've traveled. And this is before the pandemic. We haven't gone anywhere since, but always, I find that even with the accessibility, I guess like the opportunity to be able to board early. So with accessibility on your side, there are always things that go sideways. And it's really, I think people don't realize how difficult it is to board a plane when you're a wheelchair user, because you actually have to leave your own wheelchair and transfer into an aisle chair, which is it's a really tiny, thin chair that can fit between the aisles. So any able-bodied person knows that when you're walking down the aisle, you're already kind of like sucking in your gut. You've got your carry-on bags whacking the passengers on each side of you as you walk down the aisle. So imagine being carried down into this tiny little chair. It's very rickety. It's very, it's not very sturdy. And you have to get like basically zap strapped into your chair, into the aisle chair, to be able to make sure that all your limbs are within your parameters. And it's not very comfortable. And so typically you are the first person and the last person, first person on the flight and the last person off the flight, to ensure that this can happen, which can be extremely uncomfortable. And then the second piece to that is that your manual chair, typically does arrive damaged because it gets flung around, it gets tossed and turned in cargo. Sometimes it doesn't even arrive on the same flight that you are on, which can make things extremely challenging and can put you in a real pickle.
I like that was a very, very good description. And I really like the gut reference because it's very true. Sucking in your gut, trying to like not hit people, trying to get your bags overhead. It's crazy enough as an able-bodied person. But yeah, when you have to do the travel as a quad wife or a para wife, it's very difficult. Here's the thing. I normally am the type of person that is a glass half full. You know, I like to see the good in things. When it comes to travel days, I've been advocating for a mindset of like, okay, something is going to happen that is going to be chaotic. So just accept it and breathe through it and realize that it's probably going to happen. And then if by odd chance it does happen, it doesn't happen, then you'll just be pleasantly surprised. But I'm with you. I haven't had one experience that hasn't been super chaotic and just not how you would imagine traveling. So it's best to just get yourself prepared for the stress and to just do what you can to prepare your body and have your breathing techniques, all the stuff we like to talk about on the podcast, and just, you know, do your cold dips prior. Make sure that you're as de-stressed as possible. Do some yoga and breathing before and just realize that you got this. You do got this. My experience coming home from Italy was very interesting because we had rented a car because you have to, where we were staying in the countryside, we're about half hour away from civilization. We were in wine country, literally staying at a farm winery. And we had to rent a car because without a car, we wouldn't be able to get literally anywhere because it's so far out of the way. So we had this car, and the day of our flight, we were leaving from Rome. And so we had to return the car by 8 a.m. and our check-in was at 8:30 a.m. So we had to arrive 3 hours before to make sure they had everything. So it was pretty chaotic. And so I had the car all loaded. So what I did was I dropped Evan off at the departures terminal. I unloaded the car, strapped the Baytech on him, put our dog on his wheelchair. And then I went to go return the car, which was right at the airport. So I drove in to return it, rushing around. She walked around inspecting it, got me to sign off. It took about an hour to do that. So Evan was waiting for me the whole time. So then I rushed back and I got there right at 8:30. This was when we were supposed to check in. And I was like, frick, I made it. I'm so excited. We go up to the gate. And during this whole time of chaos in the morning, car returns and loading the car and unloading the car, I had actually had not checked my email at all, which I didn't even think to check my email because I had checked in the day before. So I just assumed it was fine. So we show up at the gate and she's like, oh, your flight has been delayed by 8 hours. She's like, and at the time she didn't see that my husband was in a wheelchair. So she's like, oh, there's cabs everywhere. Just go into Rome and have some lunch or whatever. And then come back. I'm like, oh my God. So we had all our bags there and I was just like, you know what? Let's just go to the lounge and just wait there. And so we had to end up going, we ended up going to the lounge in the Rome airport. It was so hot. And so we just kind of sat there, sat around for 8 hours waiting for our flight. Evan's like, why don't you go and like see if the stores offer anything that you would like? And so I went out to go see what the stores were like. And it was all like Prada, Brunello Cucinello, Cucinelli, Gucci, all of these stores. And I'm like, I'm not going to buy an $800 backpack while I'm at the airport. So we just kind of like pretty much dicked around in the lounge for 8 hours. That was interesting. And then as we got on board, things were great from Rome to Toronto. Toronto was our connecting flight. And, you know, the biggest mistake that we made this trip was not taking a few days layover in the cities that we had our connecting flights in. We had normally done that the past two times we'd traveled before, long distances. It just gives you a time to like sleep off jet lag, just relax and not have just insane craziness. Plus 24 plus hours in the chair is not good for anybody's skin. But anyway, so we arrived in Toronto. It was late at night, barely made our connecting flight. And then when we got to the gate, they had switched our planes. So they had put, we had paid for business class seats in pods, which I've explained this before in the podcast. We like to either save up or splurge and get business class travel for long-term flights because it's just easier for my husband to weight shift. There's more room for the dog. It wouldn't work in coach. And so we paid for pods. We show up. It was an old plane with tiny, tiny seats at the very front of the plane. We were sitting next to two random men. There was no room for the dog. I was just like, oh my God. And this was, we found this out after he was transferred into the aisle chair. So he was like literally sitting outside in the aisle chair waiting to get on. And I was like, we can't fly on this plane. Like, where is he going to go? How is he going to weight shift? Where's our dog going to go? And they had done this without telling us. So anyways, long story short, it was pretty much the worst thing that could happen because we had to kind of wait outside. The plane was delayed for the other flyers by about an hour because they had to try and put us on another flight. And so then what happened was they had another flight that was going out from Toronto to Vancouver. It was the one with the pods. It was the original seats that they had switched us out from without asking. But unfortunately, there were two pilots that were flying in that plane. And so they basically had to kick the pilots out and put the pilots on our plane because they weren't paying for their seats. And it was kind of embarrassing. And we held up the flight. And then we had to transfer Evan onto the new flight. And it was so it was about 2 hours delayed. And it was midnight by the time we left Toronto. So there you go. That was our crazy, crazy travel story. And if anyone's listened to previous episodes of the podcast when I was discussing coming to Italy, there's always crazy stuff that happens. And it always has to do with the disability and people just not being aware. As much as they try to be aware, there's always things like switching planes after you've taken the time to reserve your seat and make sure it was the proper seat for your partner and your dog, service dog that's traveling, then they switch it without telling you. And it's just those kind of things that staff just don't think about, right?
Well, I think it's also when you're trying to accommodate a whole flight of people, of individuals, it's sometimes it slips your mind that there will be individuals boarding that need extra attention or extra time to do things, you know, in a way that work for them. It's almost like if you are teaching and you have children in your classroom that have like a learning, not disability, but are not all learning on the same sort of scale as what you are prepared for. It's like you have to be able to be flexible to be able to adjust to everybody's needs, I guess, is like the only sort of example that I can think of, or any sort of situation, right? You have to, because this is 2023, there are a lot of individuals with disabilities that you have to be able to be moldable to be able to reach everybody, to be able to be accommodating to everybody. And, you know, you guys are really lucky that you had the option to be in this VIP lounge area. I remember when Dan and I took a flight to PEI, it was like a year after his injury, and our flight was delayed by like 11 or 13 hours. And
this was before the pandemic.
Yeah, this is before pandemic. And we didn't have an option. Like, we were stuck in between checking in and just sitting in the airport before you can check in. So we literally had to find this little table in like a cafeteria, and we were both so tired and we had such a long way to go that we just like sat at this little cafeteria table. And I remember going out and buying like those like travel neck pillows. So we had a pillow and we both just fell asleep on the table like that. And it was like hours and hours and hours of wait. We couldn't access any food or anything because we weren't checked in yet. Right. So we were just like sitting there lingering with nowhere to go. And we were in what, I think Toronto or something, trying to catch a flight. So we literally had nowhere to go. It wasn't like, oh, we'll just catch an accessible taxi and go back to our hotel or whatever. It was like, no, we already checked out. We're sitting here just waiting. Which again, you know, the point of when you are a wheelchair user and like your comfort level, even being able to I think that there should be an option where you're able to transfer out of your chair and kind of like get into like a recliner or something that you're not like constrained to your wheelchair sitting there for long periods of time. Like for anybody like able-bodied person, it's like, okay, well, I could sit on the floor, on the carpeted floor with like my back against a wall, or, you know, you could like kind of like curl up or whatever. Like, yeah, it's uncomfortable, but it's not as bad when you are the wheelchair user where you're literally trapped. Right.
Well, and they spend all this money redoing airports to make them accessible and having areas for the wheelchair to get through and security. But you're right. Like, okay, they've got all of these different business class lounges. They've got smoking rooms. Like, the smoking room at the Roma airport was like 800 square feet. It was huge. And it's like, there's so many different areas that they could put maybe little rooms with one or two recliners in it for people that are disabled who need to relax and just put their feet up. I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's consultants out there that specialize in this kind of stuff. And I feel like they're always kind of missing the mark slightly. Like, I feel like if they just hired the Wags of SEI or something, you know,
it's kind of like when you go into a restroom and there is one accessible stall. It's like, yes, it's unfortunate that there is only one. And a lot of the time those stalls are being used by able-bodied folks, but it's sort of along the same lines of availability to be able to have an accessible, like you said, like a little room where it's like, if you are a wheelchair user, you can go and just sort of transfer into this space.
Yeah, that is such a good idea.
Right. I mean, they have things like this for parents as well. There's little, like, you know, there are little rooms where kids can go and play and have that time and space to sort of like unwind. There should be something else available. I like you said, there's funding. There's got to be funding out there. These beautiful airports are getting updates and new art exhibits being installed all the time. And, you know, there's got to be something out there.
But think about it, those chairs, like even the zero gravity recliners, they're like what, $2,000-$3,000 max? And those are for nice ones. Like, how much could it be to use a room, even an office space, that isn't being used at the time to give these people some relief? Mm-hmm. That would just be the best. Oh my God. Like, you know, it's just, how many people in wheelchairs do they have traveling? Not very many. 0.0001% of the travelers. Like, it, you know, it's not like it would be hard to do that. Like, you know, I don't know.
And for good reason. Travel is not accessible. Airplanes are not really accessible. It's one of those like makeshift, like, oh, we can get by throwing you on the flight. But there are no accessible bathrooms on flights. And that's something that nobody really thinks about. Like I said, the probability of your wheelchair showing up A on your flight and B not damaged is very, very low. These are consequences and things that an individual using a wheelchair has to actually consider and think about. Like, for example, Dan has a wedding to go to that he needs to catch a flight for in August out of town. And what is the probability of him and his wheelchair arriving together or not damaged, considering the wedding, let's say, is the following day? So let's say your wheelchair is damaged. We always, number one tip for travel with wheelchair is bring your own Allen key tool set, because there will be nuts and bolts you're going to have to adjust. Things will fall apart. And secondly, bring an extra tube for your tires, because there's a good chance that one of your tires will pop along the flight as well. And then you'll be stuck, right? Then you're stuck with a flat tire, and then you're running around the city trying to find a bike shop that A, carries the right measurement for the tire that is for a wheelchair user for the tire on the wheelchair, and B, trying to get you in without an appointment to pump this up. But your wheelchair, that's your legs, that's your independence. So imagine taking a flight as an able-bodied person and thinking, I may or may not be able to walk after that flight when I arrive. I may not have my legs may be extremely damaged once I get off that flight. So when you sort of, you know, when you sort of put that perspective, put that in your own perspective, it's why would anybody want to travel? I mean, the chances are so high. But the thing is also, you can't just stay at home. You want to travel, right? You want to be able to, you want to be able to see the world and have experiences and join your friends and family on fun adventures. But there is a high cost to all of it. And it's something that we all have to keep in mind to make this world a more accessible space to navigate for wheelchair users.
For sure. And like, I'm the type of person that I'm a big resilience person, and I love to do things that push me to my limit, because I, after you do stuff that pushes you to your limit, for myself anyways, I always feel, wow, I am capable of so much, and I get a little bit more capacity for next time. You know, doing hard things is something I like to do, doing challenging things. And so I feel like that in itself is the reward for all the chaos that happens and all the stuff that you have to kind of breathe through and just realize, okay, it's, you know, it's nobody's fault here. It's just, this is the way that the systems are. When you get through that and you realize, holy crap, I am capable of doing a lot, and I'm expanding my ability to do these things. And next time it won't be as difficult. And it's true. Every single time it does get easier. I have another story for you about planes. So the plane that we took from Rome to Toronto was a 777. So it was one of the biggest planes. It had like an upper area for the pilots and the flight staff to sleep. So it was a huge plane. And what they have is they now have business, and then they have a middle class called premium economy. And my mom actually took premium economy a few times, and there's a lot more leg room, especially if you sit in the first row. And so, like I said before, the reason we splurge and use a chunk of our vacation budget for business class flights is so that my husband can do a full lean forward weight shift when he needs to. So he, in economy, you can't do that. I don't know how people do weight shifts in economy. It's just, there's not enough room. So it spares me a lot of work, and it makes him more comfortable. He can also lay flat if he needs to. But the big issue is doing weight shifts. So when my mom took these premium economy flights, she sent photos and she was like, these seats would work for Evan. If you get front row premium economy in a 777, which is a big plane, there's a lot more leg room. And she's taken it even on smaller 333 planes. And she says there's leg room in the front row. And the great thing about these front rows is they're not emergency exit seats. So anybody can sit there. Normally in the emergency exit seats, they don't allow handicapped people to sit there because they can't assist if there's an emergency, which sucks because emergency exit seats would be perfect. Anyways, in premium economy, more leg room. So when we were on our flight from Rome to Toronto, we were speaking to the manager of the flight. She was amazing about how it would save us so much money if we were able to take premium economy. And I went and looked at it, and I took some photos, and it was perfect. If we were to get front row premium economy, our dog would have room to lay down. My husband would be able to have full on great weight shifts, all that jazz. And so she said, yeah, that's a great idea. And she said, let me go and talk to my colleagues about this. And I'm going to go and check the manual for premium economy just to make sure there's no issues with anyone handicapped sitting in the front row of premium economy. And so she went and she did that. And she went and checked all the manuals, and she came back and she said, okay, I have some bad news. And we were like, what? And she said, so the front row of premium economy is, you're not, we are technically not allowed to transfer anyone into those seats. And we were like, why? They're perfect. And she said, the front row of the premium economy seats are the only seats that don't have collapsible armrests. And we are not allowed, our accessibility staff are not allowed to transfer anyone over armrests because it's too much of a lift. She's like, that's why you'll notice that these armrests go down and the ones in economy go up. It's so that they can properly be transferred and there's no issues with injuries. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I messaged my mom and I said, bad news. It looks like we're not going to be able to go in premium economy because those are the front row are the only seats that don't have collapsible armrests and they can't transfer handicapped people there. So I was like so disappointed. And I said to her, I was like, you know what? I was like, so you either have to sacrifice your health and not be able to do proper weight shifts for 8+ hours in an economy seat and have no room for your service dog, or you have to pay triple the amount and go in business class. It's one of those things that a lot of the WAGs of SCI in the private group know my pain. They talk about all the time how you have to pay more for accessible rooms because they're bigger just because you have a disability. And I thought to myself, why the hell is there not one seat? I mean, it would literally just be one seat on every airline that have collapsible armrests, more room in the front so you can do a proper weight shift, and more leg room. Why do they not have that? They're doing all these renovations of these airplanes and they say, oh, there's not enough room. There is enough room. It's just stupid decisions like premium economy with, we're just going to happen to put those armrests to make sure that they don't go into itself. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So that was really frustrating in that, because that was going to be an option for us in the future travel, but now it's not an option, which really, really sucks. But it's one of those things that is just like, ugh. I feel like people have to suffer, you know?
Yes. And nobody realizes this until they're going through it and until you're actually there boarding or you're there.
Yes.
About to get, when it's too late, really, right? When you're on a time limit, you feel bad because you don't want to hold everybody up, including an entire plane full of people. But at the same time, you know that this is something that's just going to get like swept under the rug because you're in panic. You just want to get on. You just want to get to your destination. You don't even want to fight. You're just like, oh my God, I'm just grateful enough that I can even board this plane at this point. That is just like so disheartening. Right.
It is disheartening. It is. Especially since, like, I swear, Elena, we should be consultants in this or something, because there's just these little things that so avoidable. These things can be avoidable. And it's so easy. It's such an easy fix and a really bad design flaw. And it's just, they're not thinking about everything. And yet they put all this time and effort into making things more accessible. And it's just like, you know, like you said, it's 2023. We got to get things for people who really, really are impacted truly in the real world we're talking about here, which is, you know, there's 500,000 people that have high level spinal cord injuries in the US alone. I mean, we have to start really, really pulling up our bootstraps and saying, okay, can we make armrests able to be depressed or, gotten out of the way so that a person can transfer? Yes. That's not a big issue, right? It's just so silly. Yeah. Anyways, that's a little bit something for our listeners to think about. And we always like to say, if there's anything you can do in your local municipality airport or your local international airport that can advocate for stuff like a recliner in a room for people who are disabled, or talking to people that are in charge of creating these airplanes or the companies themselves. I know the one flight attendant that was doing all this research for us, she was like, oh man, if you tag Air Canada or any airline on social media and talk about this stuff, they pay so much more attention because it's public, right? Mm. So she's like, that's a great way to advocate for yourself is to tweet something, you know, with the Air Canada, tag Air Canada in a post or do something on Facebook because it's public, right? And they really don't want to look bad. So, I mean, that's a good tip going forward. As far as advocacy.
And especially because right now this is actually blowing up. You know, airlines are having a really hard time as it is after pandemic. But when you add the disability community into this, this has been it's been worse than ever, actually. I feel like we hear about this pretty well once a week where there is an issue with an individual, with a wheelchair user boarding a flight, with their equipment coming back damaged, missing flights, not being able to get on flights because there isn't enough space or time or whatever. This is a consistent issue. So I feel like I've seen Delta Air tagged in this over and over and over again. We've seen a lot of issues with this. So if you have the time and capacity and energy to go home and write an email and hashtag or tag these airlines, good for you, because it pulls a lot of energy from you to sit and advocate. And for all of those of you who do this kind of work and sit and advocate for yourselves and for your community, honestly, God bless you, because it takes a tremendous amount of power within yourself to be able to do that. And of course, appreciate it across the board for each member of this community. So good for you. Yeah. We appreciate you. We see you. And please don't stop advocating for and giving a voice to people who simply just don't have it, right?
For sure. And I think it's really good that we keep these conversations happening of personal experiences. You know, what have you, the listener, someone who's listening right now, what have you gone through on one of your flights that you'd like to share? We would love to hear from you. We hear about this all the time in the private group, but if there's something you want to share, please email us, wagsofsci@gmail.com. This is the important conversations that we need to keep having. Real life, what's really happening, boots on the ground conversations of what it is like to be a partner to someone with a disability and to also be an advocate just by the position we're in. So please share with us your stories if you have any. Also, make sure if you haven't joined our private discussion group, you join it. It's on Facebook on the tabs, the group tabs on our Facebook page. And then make sure that you also email us anytime you have any topic requests. We are taking a bunch of topic requests for the next season of our podcast. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep chatting. We're going to keep pissing some people off with our opinions and views, but we don't care because we're getting a lot done. Also, Elena, there's some announcement that we need to make. Do you want to talk about that quickly?
Yes. So I think we're going to get into it more next podcast episode, but we do have a great big announcement that we've been keeping very hush hush for the last few months and have been honored to be able to participate in and be the keynote speakers for. So we will get into that, I think, next episode. So please stay tuned, because I think this is a very pivotal point in our WEGS of SCI careers to be able to share the voice for caregivers. And oh my God, after many years, we will be able to take the stage and do exactly that on behalf of all the women in our community who are caregivers and really share some incredible studies that we have been on the board of with the Kessler Institute. So please stay tuned until next time, because we will give you all the deets of when, where, and how and why we are doing this.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Until next time, take care of yourself and love each other.
Cheers.